It is David, and David, the psalmist, is praying out of the sanctuary of his soul. Prayer is deep and trenchant. It is subterranean in nature. It is not something that is lifted from his lips. No, it is something that emerges and is birthed out of the depths of his soul. He's at a place of destitution and desperation. He finds himself at the same place that Israel found themselves while they traveled through the wilderness. His, however, is a different nature. It is a different need. It is a higher calling. For while Israel is destitute and desperate of natural water, David is, the psalmist is crying out that his soul would be quenched with the water of life. Now, contrary to the glorious picture of the river of life that is located in the center of the celestial city, this sermonic dissertation this morning, brothers and sisters, takes us to a barren wasteland formerly known by the ancient Israelites as Rephidim. These Hebrew pilgrims now find themselves battling with a severe national water crisis. What makes it even more intolerable, unbearable, and dreadful hinges on the mere fact that although this wasn't their first encounter, this time around seems ostensibly worse than ever before. Are you with me, somebody? The growing conditions have escalated to a dangerously explosive terminus, and unless God intervenes, somebody is going to die in what looks like, amen, the commencement of a riot in the making. Come with me. Under the severe heat of the scorching sun, once again, they have arrived at a critical juncture. There is no water in sight, and at that point, chaos and pandemonium erupts among the people. They have gotten to a point where things have gotten so bad that they will take it no longer. They are going to do something about it, and anything that they've determined to do, it will not be to their benefit at all, because they're now acting out of their emotion at a point of crisis rather than to be calm and reserved and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, before you pass unwarranted aspersion or write them off as an indecent, lawless, uncultured group of vagabonds, pragmatically speaking, I want us to consider Israel's condition from a very practical perspective. Are you with me, somebody? The narrative here clearly emphasizes the fact that there is not a drop of water anywhere, and in fact, they are not just thirsty, they are on the verge of death and extinction. I want you to see this here. They are literally dying for a sip of water, and unless you have had to deal with such ravenous condition, it is virtually impossible for us to assume that we have any idea of the oppressive, unbearable torture these believers had to endure. It is W.H. Auden who points pointed out, or in fact argued, that thousands have lived without love, but not one could, but not one without water. Thousands in life have lived without love, but not one without water. In other words, brothers and sisters, many of us could have lived a meaningful life without the gentle touch. You know, the kind, affectionate, comforting heart and the tender care of parents who would have given their very lives for us. But with all of that love, without water, none of us could have survived, hallelujah, survive infancy. Say amen, somebody. Thus, Leonardo da Vinci refers to water as the driving force of all nature. He says it's the driving force of all nature. It is the thing that recycles life and keeps life going. And he classifies it now. I want you to see this. He classifies it this way, particularly because no living creature can survive without water. I need you to help me. Whether human beings, animals, or plants, water is the basic source of life. It is the substratum on which our future lies. For there is no other natural liquid in the earth that could be suitable for the development and sustenance of life but water. Say water. Water. Water is the most essential substance that distinguishes our planet from every other planet. Do you know that? It is the most invaluable resource on the earth. Without it, earth would be an uninhabited wasteland. And what it is that you understand, the inestimable, amen, priceless benefits of water, only then can you understand that it is the most critical component in both the developmental stage as well as the perpetuity or continuity of life. Scientific experts, I want to go there this morning. Scientific experts points out that the average human body consists or contains 60% of water. 90% of the blood that is in our body is water. And all other liquids in our body is mostly water. Somebody shout water. This is the reason why when the water supply system in our bodies runs low, dehydration immediately sets in. And when this happens, things automatically start to break down. How many know that without water in the body, things begin to malfunction? Organs begin to behave funny. Come on and say amen, somebody. Why? Because it is water by which life is sustained. Oh, help me, Jesus. The record proves that your body uses water to perform a multitude of functions, including regulating blood pressure. Did you know that water, amen, sufficient water has to do with regulating your blood pressure, lubricating your joints, protecting your organs, flushing excessive waste, carrying nutrients and oxygen to the cells, as well as dissolving minerals and nutrients in the body. Water, it is the distribution center. Without it, there is no circulation. Water, talk to me, somebody. Thus, if you do not replenish your body's water supply by drinking at least 8 glasses, they say, amen, of water on a daily basis, not only will your body be unable to perform its natural normal functions, it can result in myriads of dysfunction. What I'm trying to say is that your body is breaking down. down when you refuse to fuel it with water. Shout amen. I don't care how much coffee or tea you or juice you consume, like the children of Israel, without adequate water, sooner or later your body is going to run into a disastrous deficit. Am I talking to somebody here? Water. Tell somebody you need it. Oh my God. What you looking at me like Alice in Wonderland? That's right. Tell your neighbor you need it. Water. And you need more of it, especially during those hot seasons. You need it when things become arid and dry. You need it when things become parched. You need it. Come on, somebody. You need it when the body temperature begins to rise. You need it. You need water. You need it to cool you down. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. God, it doesn't matter what it is that you drink. Consume all the milk in the world. Hallelujah to God. But that comes a time when you need more than the calcium that you get from the milk. You're going to need H2O. Oh, come on, somebody. Because nothing can substitute H2O. Nothing can substitute. I wish I just had seven persons that were preaching with me, Lorraine, water. Physicians strongly advise that keeping our body hydrated is crucial for health and well-being. They tell us that water is essential for your cells and for your skin. Yes, yes. In other words, it will help you to keep looking young and keep looking good. Come on, somebody. Water is essential for your heart. Come on, baby. Hallelujah. And if it's essential for your heart, then it's essential for life. Because if your heart stops to function, then you know exactly where you're going. There's a hole in the ground for you. Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor and tell them, water, you need it. Come on, come, come, come. Yes, yes. It's good for the heart. It's good for the kidneys. Gotta rinse and wash the kidneys down. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Without water, without proper liquid, hallelujah, the kidneys begin to wrinkle. Hallelujah to God, and they begin to die. Come on, somebody. You can't process food in your body well without water. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And not only is it good, watch this, for your cells, for your skin, for your heart, for your kidneys, your organs. It's good, real good for your brain. Come, come, come. Water helps to resolve hygienic disorder. Yes, and even encourages weight loss. So instead of you gulping down a half a gallon of juice a day, you need to drink a gallon of water. Come on, come, 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 come. You do yourself harm. You do your body harm. You truncate your life. It saps your energy. It takes your strength when your body is deficient of water. Talk to me, somebody. Don't look at me like Alice in Wonderland. Hallelujah. You do your body good when you become, amen, when you have a close relationship with water. Water helps to resolve those issues in your life that can cause embarrassment, hygienic issues. Come on, somebody. On the other hand, dehydration can severely damage your kidneys and leave you on dialysis for years to come. Lord, help me to drink water. Lack of water and subsequent dehydration can lead to digestive problems. It can lead to constipation. Things become hard up and backed up on the inside because there is no liquidity. There is no free flow. Come on and say amen, somebody. But if you want to get some of the junk out of your trunk, you gotta drink water. Somebody help me up in God's house this morning. Yes, yes, yes. Lack of water, hallelujah, leads to digestive problems. It leads to acid reflux. This increases the risk of heartburn and stomach, amen, ulcers. Lack of water can cause, amen, blood to become thicker. Come on, somebody, and thereby lead to increasing blood pressure and heart disease. It can cause abnormal skin disorders, hallelujah, and induce wrinkles. It makes your lack of water makes you look older, hallelujah, than what the date that's on your birth paper. Somebody talk to me here, hallelujah, somebody. I want you to touch your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, you need water. Say yes. You can avoid a lot of problems, hallelujah, if you drink lots of water. I read it, I did my homework. It tells me the study showed that lack of water not only causes biological turmoil in the body, hallelujah, Lady Williams, it is often one of the chief source of economic depravity, hallelujah, to God in a country. You're not hearing me, somebody. For instance, in certain third world countries, the lack of water produces nothing but poverty. It produces starvation. It produces diseases, and then it produces death. It perpetuates poverty. Hallelujah. Dirty water or the lack of good, clean, pure water. Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor. Tell him, I need a drink of water. Come with me, somebody. The lack thereof is the source of economic depravity. Come. Lack of water. It is one of the principal sources of the mental and psychological catastrophes that so many individuals fall victim to. And this is precisely what was affecting the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Somebody let me break it down for you. Israel is in a crisis. Hallelujah to God. And at the hem of it all is the need for water. Come on, somebody. When things get dry, hallelujah, the environment gets miserable. Are you hearing me, somebody? When things get dry and arid, hallelujah to God, we need to pray for precipitation. Come on, somebody. We need to ask God to send nimble stratos and begin to unload and unveil, hallelujah to God, from the open heavens, refreshing for the soul. Talk to me somebody. When things become hot and steamy and there is nothing to cool you off, people become temperamental and attitudinal, irritable, come on somebody, and unreasonable. But just a glass of water can change the way you feel, change the way you act, change the way you think. Come on and tell somebody you need it. Woo, Shabbat. Yes, yes. Yes, you need it. You see, neurologists report that the human brain is made up of 75% water. Thus, lack of sufficient water creates a slow or poor circulation. Is anybody listening to me? Because I'm trying to raise up a healthy church. Are you hearing me, somebody? We're dealing with all kinds of neurological and physiological and psychological and spiritual
spiritual dilemmas and crises and problems in our lives. All kind of family crisis, sociological crisis, because there is an arid dryness, hallelujah, to God within the human spirit, hallelujah, that only God can feel. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Lack of water, it produces poor circulation throughout the body. And when the blood begins to coagulate and can't move, come on somebody, then life slows down. Energy debilitates and decreases. Come on somebody, there's got to be circulation in the body. That's how the ecosystem, that's how the world operates. The world keeps turning. It turns on its axis. Come on somebody, and where there is no movement, hallelujah, death and destruction lingers near. Somebody say yes. Ask some of these mothers, ask some of these senior citizens about bad circulation in the body. It'll slow your movement down. Talk to me somebody, it'll slow your movement. You can't move as fast, for there's no strength in the legs. Things begin to die. Somebody say yes. Bad circulation, it'll take away your vitality. Come on men, it'll take away your strength. Come on, you don't have potency because there is bad circulation. But I come to tell you, hallelujah, that you gotta keep it flowing. There has to be liquidity in your body. Say amen somebody. Say amen somebody. Water encourages that. Water, lack of water produces poor circulation, which directly affects the brain. It alters how you think, how you feel, and how you behave. Come with me. Come. Come on, somebody. Hear this. Lack of water can cause confusion. It can cause confusion. It can cause anxiety. It can cause drowsiness, dizziness, and memory loss. Shout lack of water, and conditions that are symptomatic of dementia. Are you hearing me, somebody? Doctor, am I right about it? Hallelujah, somebody. It weakens the immune system. It weakens brain function. It debilitates your cognitive abilities. It causes, amen, mood swings. Hallelujah, somebody. And personality alteration. You don't hear me, somebody? We don't know you to be that way. We don't know you to behave like this, but these attitudes seem to be sporadic and outrageous. One of the reasons is that you need to take a water break. You need to go to the water cooler, hallelujah to God, and get yourself some water. Somebody help me here. Who would think that the lack of water could affect brain function like that, to the point where it leads the dementia? It weakens brain function. It debilitates your cognitive ability. It causes mood swing, personality alteration. It reduces your energy and vitality. It impairs your mental keenness. Ah, my God, your cognitive sharpness. And in some extreme crisis, the victim can become delirious. Lack of water. In other words, lack of water can affect your consciousness. Come on, somebody. It can throw you into an emotional cyclone. Yes, things begin to spin out of control and then makes you act crazy. Say amen, somebody. I'm trying to help you. The desperate need for water has now driven the children of Israel into a psychological delirium.
this, my brothers and sisters, is common. It is common in spiritual dehydrated believers. Ah, shadaba costada riando. Coming to church all day long, but will not drink or partake of the water of life. You know what they say, that you can lead someone to water, but you can't force them to drink it. Come on then, say yes. Hallelujah to God. You've got to drink in, hallelujah to God, the spiritual substance of the word. Oh my God. There are those that are dying from spiritual anemia. You are spiritually anemic, though you're in church every Sunday. Hallelujah, because just looking at the water won't help you. You got to turn it over and empty it on the inside. You say, well, what good is it? What benefit is it? You will never know until you get it on the inside. It'll make you feel better. It'll make you sleep better. Somebody help me in here. I feel like preaching. Spiritual dehydrated believers are troubled people. And troubled people create trouble for people. Troubled people create problems and trouble for other people. Oh, come on and say amen, somebody. Come on and say amen, somebody. So the next time your neighbor look like they're about to act up, pass them a bottle of water. Hallelujah to God. Tell them, have a drink. I feel you in here, Jesus. Lord, how much. The next time they want to tell you off for no good reason, tell them, just tell them, I think you need a drink. I think you need this more than I do. Hallelujah to God. Because it looks like you're suffering from a serious case of water deficiency. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Don't leave me out here all by myself. When you lose spiritual fluidity, when you lose the ability for the spirit to flow freely, life can become increasingly miserable and distressing. And at that point, you've got to monitor your conduct. You've got to monitor your speech. You've got to monitor your behavior. Otherwise, you will shame yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. You will embarrass yourself after you come to your senses and realize what you just done did. Realize what you just said. Come on, somebody. That's why you can't hold people responsible for everything that they say and every little thing that they do, because sometimes you gotta blame it to the head and not to the heart. Come on and say amen, somebody. Come on and say amen, somebody. Somebody shout hallelujah. When the spirit, sociologically, mentally, emotionally, when you begin to run dry and needs to be refreshed, you've got to monitor your activity, because life can bring you to a place where everything that comes from your mouth, every response, be careful. Ask God for wisdom to identify thirsty people. Yeah, yeah. When there's an emptiness in people's lives, they become irritable, and the slightest thing can trigger, push them over the edge. They're not bad people. They're the same people. They're just dealing with a temporary deficiency right now. Come on. So don't jump to get a divorce. because he ain't acting right, or she ain't acting right because maybe he's going through a midlife crisis where he's reevaluating himself and trying to find his significance and his purpose. He knows it's late and he hasn't yet struck oil, and so he becomes irritable because he's thirsty for success and fulfillment and significance. As husbands, you got to know how to fulfill that emptiness. You've got to learn how to meet that need in a woman. You know, at a certain time in life, frequently, at least 12 times for the year, the woman enters into that season where she becomes antsy and irritable, and will sometimes tell you things that she doesn't mean. And we've got to be wise enough to back off a little bit and tell her, I know what's wrong with you. I know what you need. You have been losing fluid, and I've got to, you need to be refreshed. Come on, somebody. And then there are folks, male and female, there are folks that suffer from this, the perpetuation of PMSing. It just look like some women never stop. This is how Solomon describes those kind of women. They're only few, and maybe only two is listening to me today. But this is how Solomon describes them, Murray. He says that she is like a drip from the roof down through the ceiling that hits the floor constantly. Plop. 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 Constant dripping of water. It's annoying. And it's a bad thing when you want to tell something to shut up, but it has no ears. Bad thing when you got loud music and somebody trying to find solitude, but you don't control the remote or the button, you can't turn it off. I know sometimes Myrna want to turn me off. I know I turn her off sometimes. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But you've got to know when you are in that zone. And you've got to know not to drop friends and close associates that's been good to you simply because they're going through an emotionally dry season. Aren't you glad that God is not like us, that God can go through his mood swings? There are some of my sons and daughters right here, particularly more daughters than sons, that throughout last year, I just kind of gave them a walk. I haven't left them, but you got to give people a little distance sometimes for your own sanity, because they'll drive you crazy. Hallelujah. See, me and Myrna work together. We lay down together. We get up together. We pray together. We work together. We travel together. We do everything together. And I'm telling you right now, I love the girl. But sometimes I just want her to take some money and just go to the mall. Do what women do. Just go to the mall, make a mistake and spend $500, and then come home and say, I don't know what happened, but it just came upon me. Now, I'm not telling you wives to do that to your husband, because you may not be like my wife. You understand what I'm saying? who hardly and seldom ever indulge in the pleasure of just taking a stroll in the mall for no good intention but to buy what she doesn't need. No, she is not like that. But every now and then, we just need a break. So every now and then, you've got to give church folk a little break. Don't be annoying. Why you ain't calling me back? I've been calling you. Child, please, I still got a life outside of you. Every now and then, you need to get in your car and park it somewhere where there are green leaves and flowers and cool running water and just walk by the riverside for no apparent reason but just to smell fresh air. Me, myself, and I all by myself. Naked I came in by myself. Naked will I return by myself. Spend some time with you. It'll bring healing. It'll bring healing. Sometimes you just got too many people in your face. Your life is so clustered and clogged up. You just need some airspace for you. Oh God, I got to run on here. I got to run on. Why am I saying this? Because dehydrated people become problematic, and problem people causes problems for other people. Come on and talk to me here, somebody. Talk to me, somebody. Here it is now. Here it is now that we're seeing that the lack of water, hallelujah, is causing Israel to act out of character. The unquenched thirst to be filled has driven them into a psychotic frenzy. So much so that they are now prepared, amen, to butcher Moses. You've got to watch unfulfilled, dissatisfied, thirsty, angry people who are obviously suffering from a severe internal emptiness that only God can fill. You think, hallelujah, you think that they're bipolar. But what they need most of all is a drink from the river of life. Help me preach it. Some people suffer, amen, severe headaches, for instance. Why? Because they refuse to drink water. But overwhelming statistics shows that adequate portions of water increases blood flow and oxygen to the brain, thus helping to improve concentration, to balance abnormal mood swings, and make you move, amen, make you more alert and sharper in your thinking. It is, if it seems as if then that you're a little agitated and frantic, fanatic, perhaps you should check your water supply. You should check your water intake. You're not crazy, brothers and sisters. But when there is a water deficiency, it can sometimes alter the way you think, the way you act towards each other. Perhaps, amen, so perhaps, my brothers and sisters, you are unfulfilled. Hallelujah to God. And people who are unfulfilled have the tendency to be a little temperamental and controversial. But touch somebody one more time and tell them, I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty. And I'm thirsty for change. I'm not thirsty for what you think. I'm thirsty for change. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I wish I was. Oh God, I wish that this was a marriage ceremony today. Oh God, have mercy. I would tell husband, wives, that when men become thirsty, Lord, have mercy for you. When men become thirsty, glory be to God, and the sun ain't even shining, you had better be prepared to
satisfy that thirst, because he'll never be still. He'll never stop. He'll toss and turn. You little young ones don't know nothing about this, and you don't need to know right now, but he'll toss and turn, dropping things off the bed, kicking you without any good reason, humming, and oh my gosh, why? Because he thirsted.
Got to understand the psychological trauma that Israel is now facing. That this is not just some momentary situation. This is something. When your situation prolonged for too long. When it seems to be increasingly consistent, you will reach a boiling point. And Israel had arrived at the boiling point. But there is a Slovakian proverb which says, pure water is the world's first and famous medicine. Y'all think I'm making stuff up? You can go find it where I found it when you leave from here today. Pure water is the world's first famous medicine. I'm told, and I've been practicing it for a while now. Haven't healed everything yet, but I'm on my way. That the first thing you do when you get up in the morning after prayer, get yourself 2 or 3 glasses of water, room temperature. I'm not talking about hot boiling water. I'm not even talking about warm water, room temperature water. And you are lubricating things, and you are creating fluid, and what it's doing is washing some toxins out, flushing yourself. Because no sooner you do that and you talk to Jesus on your knees and you read 2 Psalms, then there's a movement. You're getting ready to go, and stuff that would have slowed you down, all of a sudden, you begin to make deposits and drop off packages that you don't need along your daily journey. Ain't nobody talking to me here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you better try 6 glasses tomorrow morning. Because you got a blockage. You got situations that are clogged, trying to escape, and there's no exits. Sister Green, you back already? Are you with me here, somebody?
Yes.
Sort of says, drink room temperature water, because it helps to rejuvenate the body. Come on, somebody. Amen. And keep things flowing. Now, if that holds true, you got to drink lots of water, because it will allow you to get rid of some of the excess toxicity and the waste that is clogging your arteries. It will help you to diffuse some of the internal tensions and combustions and confusion that is raging on the inside. You ever say some things and act some kind of a way that you walk away, my God, by yourself, you so ashamed. You say, what got over me? What in the world is wrong with me? You need to go drench yourself with some water. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Yes, yes. It may seem troubling to some, but God only knows how to refresh your spirit and revive your soul again. At this point in Exodus chapter 17, let me run on. The children of Israel are having a psychological relapse. Why? There is no water. In truth and in fact, however, what they need more than water was God. Come with me, come. The thirst for water and the deepest thirst of the human soul, brothers and sisters, is one of the same. It is the thirst for life itself. And when people are out of touch with God, sometimes even believers resort to doing and saying things that are reckless, cantankerous, irrational, mean-spirited, and self-destructive. People whose lives are in deficit for the living God often act in ways that can be downright frightening at times. People who are disgusted with life and are in a destitute, desperate need for the truth and true and living God often fall in a fit of rage, blaming everybody else for the slightest thing that goes wrong in their lives. You ain't going to say amen right now. Hallelujah. But I know I'm hitting the spot. They're angry, and rage is not necessarily the offensive or should the offensive consequence of anybody in particular. Their aggressive, offensive reaction is symptomatic of the internal psychological trauma caused by the reoccurring nightmare of being disappointed again and again and again and again. It is the insatiable thirst of just wanting to be satisfied and fulfilled. Searching. Searching and searching. Going to the right places. Doing the right things. But just cannot find an ever-flowing stream that brings meaning to your life. We see them. We see them every day. I mean, contentious and vindictive. I mean, temperamental and judgmental, insensitive, abusive, irrational, and suicidal. And most of the times, they don't even know why they're angry. I'll tell you why. Because they need God. Some, yes, even those are sitting on the pews. You have religion, but you don't have God. You have religion, but you've been given the gift of salvation, but you don't have the peace of God on the inside. You deal with everything in your life from a secular standpoint. No. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. Our nature have been changed. We have been regenerated. We have a regenerated nature. That is that we have now the mind of Christ and of the Spirit. So as we begin to refresh ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to think like the Word of God tells us to. We are not influenced or intimidated by the culture. We do not allow that to define us. We do not fall into the salad bowl of this emotional, immoral status of this world. No, we are different. We have been distinguished by the very nature of Christ Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain psychological and physiological conditions that can alter your thinking, that can alter your behavior. And for those of you that have, that work with or know individuals that have those kind of tendencies and condition, you know how frightening it can be, even for them. Because after they snap out of it, if you were to repeat what they just said, they would bold-facedly tell you that you're a liar. They never said that. They could never say that. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? So there are things that can happen within the lives of individuals. And as the believers of Jesus Christ, we must know how. Watch this. We must know how to respond to those people in a proactive, kind way. You cannot attack those people with blistering wrath and contempt, closing doors on individuals that are just struggling at a dry place in their lives right now. That's why I don't allow anybody to tell me anything about the people that are significant in my life. Don't tell me about my church. Don't tell me about the sons and daughters of this ministry, no matter how corrupt you claim that they are. I know some, now all of us don't act the way that we ought to act. I know that all of us don't act ethical all the time. And I see some things on Facebook that make me ashamed sometimes. But I know my people. I know sons and daughters. I know people when they were really good. And so now that they're going through a mind-altering situation, not going to turn my mind away from them. Sometimes I just give them time. When counseling won't work, I just give them time. And I pray for them. Because God is able to recalibrate. God is able to reshape and remold. Come on and say amen, somebody. Touch somebody and tell them it's just temporary. Tell somebody it's just temporary. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. God can fill those empty places in our lives. And sometimes the only thing that people need is a drink from the life giver. You will never experience that inner peace that provides solitude and contentment amidst adversity and calamity until you meet Jesus Christ, the giver of life. I don't know if you understand the maddening psychological and spiritual turmoil that rages within. When the one thing that the soul cries for is the only thing that is able to bring true satisfaction. When you are thirsty, nothing, brothers and sisters, hydrates and brings sweet relief like water. Nothing else does it quite like water. And although some try desperately to satisfy the crave with certain substitutionary alternatives, there's just no artificial supplement that can replace, refresh, or revitalize that which both body and spirit truly longs for. Are you hearing me? Tell somebody what you need more than... Touch somebody. Tell them what you need more than bourbon, Appleton, vodka, tequila. You see how much I know about tequila? Tell them what, I know this one though, not personally. What you need more than Chardonnay? Ah, come on, somebody. Is a drink from the river of life. If the soul is sending direct signals to the brain, signals that suggest I need God, you can try to satisfy the spirit with fresh fleshly indulgence and then expect life to be better. Oh no, it'll never get better. Entertainment won't do it. Are you hearing me? Somebody, I got to close. Material enticement just won't do it. Luxurious automobile, costly jewel and expensive clothing won't do it. I don't care how many exotic excursions and trips around the world that you may take. No amount of pleasure is going to bring you optimum satisfaction and fulfillment in your life until you fill it up with Jesus. Oh my God, somebody shout hallelujah. If you are at that place called Refidim, just call on Jesus because you need him. I'm like the songwriter who declares, fill me up until I overflow. Hallelujah to God. I want to be filled by you. Help me, somebody. I want you, God, and nothing else will do. F. Bruce articulates it this way. He says the soul's deepest thirst is for God himself. God himself who has made us, watch this, that we can never be satisfied without him. And even though so many don't know it, and they think that if I just have a little bit more money, oh my God. People think that they can solve every problem in the world with more money. And they need to sit for a moment to talk to the people that really have money to see how miserable they are. You would think that people with more money would raise up a better generation, that would rear up children that were so disciplined and knew the value and the worth of life and money. But the more money they have, oh my God, some of them, the more reckless they are and troublesome. How many children are behind bars today that have rich parents? Come on, somebody. That have given them everything that they need, and yet there's still an emptiness on the inside, because the universal need of mankind is for God, the true and the living, not Buddha. No, not some Hindu so-called God out there. And I ain't gonna call any of the other fake gods, because I get too many reactions from people watching me live stream. You can serve whatever God you want to serve, but the truth of the matter is, without Jehovah God, nah, you're still empty. You're still living lives that are unfulfilled, dissatisfied with yourself, having the best life in the world, the best education. And there's an emptiness on the inside. Yet if you're homeless and you've got God, you've got peace like a river. Joy like a fountain. Oh, talk to me, somebody. I wouldn't trade my God for a billion times a billion trillion dollars in the world. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, he's my stabilizer. Come on. He keeps things balanced in my life. He keeps my mind together. When insanity would have stepped in, oh my God, touch somebody, tell them you need him. Hallelujah to God. The people became so outrageous that not only did they accuse Moses, they indicted and prosecuted God, alleging that he had deserted and abandoned them in the flesh. They may have been very thirsty, but in truth and in fact, on the inside, they were suffering from a chronic, insatiable thirst for the Creator. What they needed more than water was the life giver. So in Exodus chapter 17, 6, I'm done for now. God said to Moses, okay, go meet me by Horeb. Things are horrible right now, but I want you to go stand by that rock called Horeb, and I'm going to do the impossible for you. I'm close. I don't know where you are today. In fact, I don't know what season of your life you're in. But I love the rainy season, because during that time, I throw a little fertilizer down and the lawn is green and flush and oh, it looks good. Neighbors walk by and ask me, what you doing? Oh, your lawn looks so good. But I don't want it to rain all during the rainy season. I don't want it to rain every day. I don't know what season of your life you're in. Every one of us have a season. And sometimes my season is not your season. There's that season when things start turning from green to brown and things begin to dry up. What once gave you pleasure begin to fall off. And there's no sign of growth. And when you're in a season of your life where there is no growth, no apparent movement, when stagnation settled in, it can be some maddening times. It can be frightening. Especially, listen, when winter moves beyond March and enters into April, when we're supposed to be having April showers so that we can enjoy May flowers. And now, here in the north, it is snowing in May. You got serious cause for concern. And whenever people get to a place where they feel like they have had this extended season where things are cold, dry, you can kind of like lose your balance. You can kind of like misjudge your future for misinterpreting your season and misevaluating your value and your worth. And whenever that happens, don't say too much. Be still, my soul, and know that God is there. Merns, they were doing a lot of talking, and there was a lot of fussing in the camp because there were frustration. These people are frustrated. They have a natural need, the need to advance from here to there, need to be fulfilled and satisfied with the basic substance of life. And nothing is happening, and God is silent. But notice, you'll see it next week. The minute that God broke the silence and intervened and opened his mouth, come, Lorraine, you need to do something. Things begin to change. Changed the morale. Changed the temperature. Changed their trajectory. The future. Changed their attitude and their motives. They fussing. And God said to Moses, go stand by the rock, Horeb. And I'm going to do something about this. And somebody's in this place today. I got to close. And I heard, as much as I hear my heartbeat, I feel my heartbeat today. I heard you saying, God, you got to do something about this. Be careful. Don't talk too much. Sometimes you're talking to the wrong person. You're talking to people that can't help you. They don't want to hear your business anyway. I keep on telling you, when people say, how you doing? Teacher's asking just out of formality. They really don't. If you really think they really, really want to know your sad story, sit there and listen to it for 3 hours and can't do nothing about it, and they walk away depressed. If you really think people care to know how you're really doing, when they say, how you doing, tell them, pull up a chair. And see how quickly they begin to make excuses. And you know what? I'll call you. In fact, won't you text me? Yeah. You got to just get God in it. You're never going to see significant changes until God sits at the center of everything that affects you. For the Lord will, the scripture says, perfect. Shout everything. Everything which concerns. Hold on to somebody's hands. I'm only going to call somebody in this place today who is spiritually dehydrated. Somebody who just feel as if I can't take another step in life. Somebody who feel like by this time there must be a break for me. There's got to be a better way to live than this. I'm only going to call an altar call, an invitation to those who feel a great need, a thirst for greater, for something more than what you put on your finger or wear around your neck. I'm glad my wife is the way that she is. Because there are those that are wearing, you know, necklaces that cost $50,000. And if you had one on, and she had one on, and hers was fake and yours was real, I couldn't tell if you didn't tell me. Come on, somebody. People base their value and put their hopes superficial material things. Stuff. When in fact the stuff don't make you feel better but for a moment when you get it. For me? Wow. You know what I mean? But it really doesn't really revolutionize and change anything inside. I need to hold on to something that's far more substantial. I need to hold on to God. And I know we ain't got time, but some of you really can squeeze your neighbor's hands to tell them the truth on the matter is, what's really keeping me is God in my life. Her name, somebody could testify today to tell you the battles they've had and the things that they're fighting and the challenges that they're facing and the nights of tears and, oh my God, the internal war on the inside, the internal self-analysis, the self-evaluation, and how it just don't seem to add up. But when I feel like nothing at all, he steps in, broken as Peter was. And he's abandoned now by the disciples and everyone. And Jesus is risen, and he sends the women, and he says, I want you to go tell my disciples that I'm back on my feet again, and make sure you tell Peter too. Because he understands that at a moment of dehydration, Peter said some things, but in his denial, it came from his head. It didn't come from his heart. Anybody in here today that can lift your hands and say, God, I still love you. God, I still love you. My heart still belongs to you. No matter what happens, God. Psalm says, my heart longs for you. I'm crying out for you. Like a man that is in a dry and a parched and a thirsty place. I remember you in the sanctuary. Oh God, revive my spirit again and fill me with the water of life. If that's you, run to this altar. I only got 60 seconds to pray for you. If that's you, run to this altar. If that's you who needs a real serious change in your life. Don't throw yourself away. Don't reject the value of who you are. Think about the change. Come. Sing it out, Shrouder.
Come and quench.
Sing it, son.
This thirsting of my soul.